Anonymous. It would be okay if I sit here, it looks like.
You see M31?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Probably possibly being on
I did not.
And then speakers.
Speakers use. Don't guess.
You're unmuted.
Okay. Can everyone hear us on the phone?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thanks, Helen. Okay. It is 6:02. We're recording the public meeting to order. This is a special meeting of the Audit Board of Directors, primarily to cover two topics. One is the student code of conduct, and the second is the updates to the Title IX policy. We'll start with the questions.
The United States of America, into the Republic of which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we will go to public comments first. I received two comments to be read in the record. And you received one, and then we have a few people who have asked to speak. So I will start in reading the record a comment from Sydney Browser. So,
fun technical challenges, so bear with us.
Thank you. Hey, pull up, it's really good.
Oh, yeah. There's the construction of the new playground area, complete with plastic slide. Out of the building, saw the huge piles of dirt and rocks. We'll get these for microphones and for speakers. And I saw the really expensive yellow plastic things that'll retain the half million gallons of water for 24 hours.
Well, we hear Ken very clearly. I don't know if that makes a difference.
That's just me because I turned my microphone on so you guys weren't in complete silence.
Okay.
We're in the process of rejoining.
All right.
And a quick decision whether we're going to pick the pool.
Yeah.
It's not coming up as a device.
Are they Bluetooth? Is that why it's flashing blue?
No, it should be able to be USB.
It's no fun if you can't hear us, guys.
Alex. Wait.
884.
Yeah.
8980. 3681.
81.
Correct.
Invalid payment. I typed something wrong. 884.
8980.
8980.
3681. Sorry, the only ones free are in the front row. You're fine sitting there. We're currently having technical difficulties, so nothing's going on. You haven't missed anything.
Wait, we got audio.
That's me. That's me.
How are we doing now? Are you hear us? Can you hear it?
Okay. Aaron, it's all you.
Are we good? Okay. All right, we were about to begin public comments. As a reminder, comments are, so it's not a Q&A, it is a comment to the board. We will listen to the extent there's a question that someone in the administration can help, we'll ensure that that person handles the question, and the statements need to be kept to 3 minutes or less. So I will read the first from Sydney Fowser. So, dear Ms. Allard, I will be unable to attend tonight's board meeting. However, I would still like my voice heard regarding Odyssey's Title IX policy. This is my 13th year as an Odyssey student, and in that time, I have been able to succeed because of the level playing ground that Odyssey students have with regard to non-discrimination. As someone who is myself a member of the LGBTQ plus community, I have found that Odyssey already has an incredibly welcoming environment that should be strengthened and codified with the help of an amendment to the school's Title IX policy, expanding the available protections for students and their identities. Creating a school environment in which some students' needs and opinions are discarded would not only be counterproductive for learning, but it would also be regressive. In short, I strongly support the move to amend Odyssey's Title IX policy to expand protection for marginalized groups in order to ensure the continued prosperity of Odyssey Owls for years to come. Thank you, Sydney Fowser, class of 2025, Odyssey Charter High School. I also received comment from Ronnie Gates, who is a staff member, which I will read. Okay. Thank you for allowing me to share my concerns this evening. As I am unable to attend, I have asked Aaron Allard to read my thoughts on Title IX and Odyssey Charter School. My name is Veronica Gates, and I've been an educator at Odyssey for 9 years now, and inclusion is embedded at the heart of Odyssey Charter School. There isn't a parent or educator that wants a student of any color, race, gender, or gender identity to feel unwelcome or unsafe. Messages that exclude individuals have no place in schools. Messages that tell students you can't have equal protection have no place in schools. In 2022, I organized an LGBTQ plus workshop on using pronouns properly for our school staff and families, which over 40 people attended. Staff and families attended to learn how they could be supportive and use the proper pronouns to respect our differences. Students in Odyssey Charter School's middle and high school have created GSA clubs, which are Gender Student Alliance clubs, which are student-led and provide a safe space for students and their allies. In addition, the middle and high schools have adopted policies to protect our LGBTQ plus students. So you can see we are inclusive here at Odyssey Charter School. Everybody belongs and everyone is welcome. On Tuesday, we will have our first day of school, and the message will be welcome. You belong here no matter what you look like, no matter what gender identity you identify with, you belong. Welcome, you belong here, and we want you here. We will give you the same education as everyone else. We will make sure you have access to materials. We want you to participate in any after-school activities you want to participate in. You have equal access. Welcome. I believe Eva has...
I think we had a third one, a very brief one.
Did we?
You can look it up while I'm reading.
Yeah, go. So Eva's going to read one that was sent to her.
I received an email from a parent who wishes to remain anonymous. As a member of the OCS community and a mom to a child who is a part of the LGBTQI+ community, I encourage you to vote in favor of the Title IX amendment with a special focus on the impact on LGBTQI plus students. This amendment is a significant step towards fostering a more inclusive and equitable educational environment for all students, regardless of their sexual orientation or gender identity. Title IX has historically been instrumental in promoting gender equity in our schools, but this amendment addresses crucial areas where LGBTQ plus students have faced disparities and discrimination. By voting yes, we are affirming our commitment to ensuring that every student, regardless of their LGBTQI plus status, is protected from discrimination and harassment and has access to the same opportunities as their peers. This amendment will help to create a safer and more supportive school climate where LGBTQI plus students can thrive without fear of marginalization. It also reinforces our dedication to providing comprehensive and inclusive education that respects and values diversity. Supporting this amendment, it's not just about aligning with federal regulations. It's about standing up for what's right and just. It's about sending a clear message that every student deserves to be treated with dignity and respect, and that our schools are committed to upholding these principles. I urge board members to vote yes on this Title IX amendment and to demonstrate an unwavering commitment to equity, inclusion, and support for all students. And the other one?
There's another one that is related to a different matter, which I'll read. And Eva, maybe you can.
Are we going to discuss the same matter today?
Well, it's public comment.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Just a reminder, public comments are limited to 3 minutes.
Yep.
Actually, the timer.
Did that one go over? Hold on. Valerie sent us earlier today a public comment. Okay, to whom it may concern, this is regarding the fifth grade honors program and gifted and talented program. This is from Heather Yacobel. Okay. I'm aware that the previous traditional honors programming and curriculum was taken away, sixth grade work for the advanced fifth graders, and will be replaced by the gifted and talented program as mentioned through state legislation. However, no honors and or gifted curriculum or programming has begun for students already identified as advanced or quote gifted end quote. Additionally, no concrete start dates or details on implementation for the advanced learners has been shared even when asked. Why was the fifth grade honors program taken away without a viable program set up in place for the advanced learners? When specifically will the gifted, intelligent, talented program start? No concrete start dates have been mentioned by administration. What will the gifted and talented program look like? Will it involve advanced curriculum like before to include sixth grade math and ELA for advanced fifth grade students, or will it only be pullout sessions? It would be an absolute disservice to deny our advanced learners from an early start date this school year of the curriculum they need when one was previously in place at Odyssey for fifth grade. It is an absolute disservice to some of our advanced learners to not have access to the needed learning opportunities for them. How will middle school classes be affected since the historical honor students did curriculum a grade level ahead? Will the current fifth graders be able to do seventh grade advanced curriculum when they are incoming sixth graders, e.g. fast math like in years past? Will students already evaluated by a school psychologist and identified as quote gifted end quote get fast tracked to advanced learning opportunities ASAP? Kind regards, Heather Yacobel. Did you find?
Yes, it's more of a question. It says, good morning, related to the topic Title IX tonight. I would like to ask, I guess, the board what the Odyssey community can do to encourage the adoption.
You can speak.
Oh,
she's
oh, okay.
No statement. Yeah. Okay, so we have a list of folks who signed up ahead of time to speak. So we'll go through them first, and then anyone else who's here who hasn't signed up is welcome to speak as well. John Nicholson, maybe come up here by the Okay.
My name is John Nicholson, and I'm the father of two OCS students. Title IX already protects discrimination against LGBTQ plus students, and federal courts and agencies have held that Title IX protects students from discrimination based on their sexual orientation, gender identity, or sex characteristics. The updates to the Title IX regulations now explicitly state certain protections for the first time. These updates are being challenged in court outside of Delaware by Republican attorneys general and conservative groups. Regardless of your political affiliation, we're inside Delaware with a Democratic governor and an administration that supports the Biden administration. We've already been named on Delaware Online as one of only five schools in Delaware where the new rules have been blocked just because at least one OCS student's parent is a member of Moms for Liberty, which associates Odyssey with an organization that has advocated for book bans, is actively anti-LGBTQ, is known at a national level for calling teachers' unions a terrorist organization, and is classified by the Southern Poverty Law Center as a right-wing extremist group. If we delay implementing these rules and hide behind the fig leaf that there's currently a lawsuit over them, we send a message to everyone in the Odyssey community and the community at large, neighbors, donors, regulators, the Biden School of Public Policy, with whom we have a partnership, about our priorities. We will be saying that we only want to comply with these new rules if we have to, and our renewal is coming up. Do we want to risk all that? As Odyssey has learned in the past, it's tough to fight City Hall. Title IX is a floor, not a ceiling. It's the minimum we're required to do. AHEPA was founded over a century ago, quote, on the principles that undergirded its fight for civil rights and against discrimination, bigotry, and hatred. At the very least, we should be implementing the Title IX rules and providing these protections to our students, not because we might lose federal funding, or we might get bad press, or we might damage relationships with the community, our partners, our donors, but because protecting and educating all children, especially the ones that may be vulnerable, is what Odyssey is about. I ask the board to vote yes on the Title IX amendment.
Thank you, John. Next up is Aurora Nicholson. Right by the mic.
Hi, my name is Aurora Nicholson, and I've been a student at Odyssey since kindergarten, and I'm now entering my freshman year of high school. As a student of Odyssey, I value the safety of every student at this school. A few of my friends here are transgender, and I firmly believe that they should face protection from discrimination. LGBTQ plus people are more likely to face discrimination, harassment, and abuse than other groups. I want all students at Odyssey, including my friends, to know that they are safe at school and can be themselves. However, this does not only apply to my friends. If just one student is transgender, then I want them to be protected. I ask the board to vote yes for the Title IX project.
Thanks for your time. Thank you. Paula Lowe, is Paula on the line? And if so, feel free to unmute.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody here. I am here to urge the board to fulfill its legal and moral obligations by respecting and implementing the Title IX law, which mandates that schools recognize and support the gender identity of our students. This law is not just a piece of legislation. It represents the culmination of years of research, human experience, and the principles of dignity and equality that we hold dear. By choosing not to implement this law, we risk causing severe harm to some of our most vulnerable students. There is overwhelming scientific consensus on gender identity. Research, including studies published in leading medical journals, such as The Lancet and Pediatrics, clearly shows that gender identity is a deeply ingrained aspect of an individual's biology and psychology. Gender fluidity is not a trend or a choice. It's a natural variation of human experience. These studies demonstrate that when children are allowed to express their gender identity freely, they experience better mental health outcomes, including reduced rates of anxiety, depression, and suicidal ideation. On a more personal note, I've worked here for 15 years at Odyssey. Previously, I worked with students up till ninth grade. And when I was working with the older students, I had several of them entrust me with their personal truths. Four of them asked to start a GSA, and we started the first one here at Odyssey years ago. And I helped run that for 4 years. I am very grateful to have been revisited by several of these students post-graduation. Three of them told me that they're alive today because of the support that Odyssey staff and students provided to them as they were navigating their own personal truths. This is an outstanding positive to our school. I hope the board will implement the law as it is written and not making an assumption. I think that would be at the detriment of our students and our community. I do urge you to vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Paula. Thank you. Thomas Walder.
right here, Ben?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So my name is Thomas Walder. I'm a rising senior here at Odyssey Charter School. I was part of the high school's founding GSA chapter. And so I wanted to come here today and urge the board to vote yes in favor of the Title IX Amendment. So what I think is really important for people to consider is that some people believe that by implementing the Title IX Amendment that we are infringing on the rights and the free speech of other people that may not agree with the lifestyles of certain LGBTQ plus students. And so I'd like to reference our school's code of conduct to specifically see what Title IX would protect students from. So the definition of harassment, according to the OCS code of conduct, is harassment is something that means verbal or physical conduct at a location, place, or time where the student code of conduct is enforced, based on a person's race, color, religion or creed, national origin, sex, disability, or any other basis prohibited by state or federal law, and which substantially interferes with a student's educational performance or creates an intimidating, hostile, or offensive educational environment. This last part is what I really want to focus on, the idea of a hostile educational environment. The Title IX Amendment will not persecute students who hold beliefs contrary to those of the lifestyles of LGBTQ plus students, but it does require them to do so in a respectful manner and in ways that do not create a hostile environment for students. I believe that implementing this amendment will ensure that Odyssey is able to live up to its own mission and make all students feel welcome and safe. Students who go out of their way to belittle or disrespect other students on any basis should face the consequences of their actions, and they shouldn't be protected just because we refuse to implement a simple amendment. I ask the board to vote in favor for the Title IX Amendment to foster a safe space for every student here at Odyssey, both now and for posterity. Thank you.
Thanks, James. Okay, we also had Melissa, and apologies, Rainier. So if you're online, please feel free to unmute and provide your statement.
Hi, my name is Melissa Rainier. I have a seventh grader at Odyssey Charter School, and I really just wanted to voice my hopes that the board would consider voting yes for the Title IX amendments, so that we can continue to have a safe environment within the Odyssey group and our community. Thank you.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.
So anyone in person who's not signed up, wanted to make public comment, now's the time. Okay. Online, if you would like to make a comment, please unmute. If we have more than one person, I'll ask to take turns, but feel free.
Hello, my name is Lori Jones. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm the family crisis therapist at Odyssey for grades 6 through 12, and I really hope that the board will vote yes to implement the Title IX amendment, because as other people have said, this is our most vulnerable population. 41% of people who identify as transgender attempt suicide at some point in their lives. And I would really hope that we would send the message that we value them and that we are inclusive of everybody. So I really hope that we vote yes.
Thanks, Lori. Anyone else online? Okay, that will conclude public comment. Thank you to all of our community, and thanks especially to our students. You guys are what makes Odyssey so great. So thank you so much for coming and participating and speaking up today.
Before we move to the
sure.
next
Did
topic,
you have one to...
no, I just okay. want to say whether we agree or disagree with what they said, we should be so proud of them.
Yes.
I mean, they are so well-spoken, so respectful, and so brave. Thank you.
Thank yeah. you.
You guys are Odyssey.
Okay, we will move on to the next item in the agenda, which I believe is the code of conduct piece. Sorry, I'm trying to find the right tab. So I believe that, well, I know the board has had the opportunity to weigh in and provide comment on the code of conduct. Elias, do you want to just speak for a second on how you incorporated the feedback and where the document stands today?
Good evening. Yes.
My microphone for the microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't hear you.
Can't hear
you. Nope.
Folks online can't.
You must hear your principal voice.
I think the principal voice.
Sorry.
Okay. Welcome, everybody. So the code of conduct has undergone revisions every single year, as is appropriate every year that you enter into the school year. This year, particularly, we focused on making sure that since we adopted a shift to the code of conduct last year, that we honed in on the components that still remained vague and hard to implement, while also making sure that we continue with our focus of being a restorative school and a school that's inclusive and has ways in order to make sure that all people feel like they have a place here. In doing so, we received feedback from all of our board members that decided to provide us with feedback, and we incorporated all of their feedback into the document. The document was finalized as of, I want to say, yesterday evening, and is in its final form now, which includes specific language that was asked for by our board members, our community members, our administration, our students, and everybody else who provided input. At this point in time, although no document could be perfect and all documents are living and need to be changed, I strongly urge the board to approve the code of conduct as is and allow for us to open the school year with a valid code of conduct in place. If there are any further questions or clarification, I'm happy to provide that.
I need to throw a little work you've done, you and Ashley.
Thanks to
everybody all putting this document together.
Any questions from board members, either in person or on the phone? Okay, do we have a motion?
Motion to approve the code of conduct.
That was motion. Do we have a second?
I second.
Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, abstentions? Okay, code of conduct is approved. And we will move on to our last order of business, which is the Title IX policy. Yeah. Oh, the approval of the out-of-state travel? Sure. And New York. Okay. Any questions?
We approve the out-of-state travel as presented.
I second.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
That's an aye. The abstention? Okay, out of state's approved. Thank you. Good luck.
Thanks.
Okay, final order of business, which is the Title IX policy. So we started discussing this last week. There was a request for more time to allow the board members to kind of review the updates to the policy. So we're updating the policy, or propose to update the policy to align with the current federal Title IX policy that most schools in the country are operating under. I think all board members had the chance to provide feedback and ask questions. And usually we'll have a motion and a second and then we'll discuss, but I think tonight we'll start with a discussion first. So I'm going to open the floor just as a reminder. I know there are lots of different feelings on this, but we need to keep this respectful and collaborative. So let me open the floor to anyone who has comments.
Hi.
Sure. Go ahead, Eva.
So I think that as a board of directors of a public charter school, our job is not to debate laws. Our job is to implement them as applicable for our students and our school. I mean, as private citizens, we are free to debate and agree or disagree. But again, our focus tonight, I think, should be on what the consequences would be for our school if we do not implement the law. We heard that we're not going to have any financial penalties while the litigation is going on. But as other mentioned before me, how about the other consequences? How about the trust of the community? How about how our students, their families, our supporters, our donors, our collaborators would feel about our school? And to clarify a little bit the picture, let's hypothetically suppose that a student brings forward a complaint regarding discrimination based on sexual orientation. The student is still covered, but how would Odyssey look if we chose to not implement a law that could protect, could have protected this student? I wanted to give some numbers. I'm not extremely good with math, so Costas corrected me. Actually, I was good with math.
You're okay.
Take it back. So Out of 200 plus public schools in Delaware, only four public schools, Otis included, the other one, Mr. Nicholson, is a private school, are in the same situation as we are. And nationwide, I understand that there are 400 schools that have blocked the amendment. But again, I Googled it. It's close to, we in the United States, we have close to 100,000 public schools. So the number, the percentage is awfully small. And we have to question ourselves if that's where we want Odyssey to be. As an educator, as a person, I have the utmost respect for everybody's religious and personal beliefs. But the beauty of our school is that we are so diverse. Our 2,300 students come from a plethora of ethnic and religious backgrounds. We are here to serve them all. And as an academic institution, we are not only responsible for our students' education, we are responsible for that too, but we are responsible for their wellness, for their safety, for their well-being. And moreover, I would like to believe, and I know that's the case, that Odyssey is the kind of school that nurtures students and empowers them to be themselves, free of fear. Last comment I'm going to make is about Philotimo, because it has been mentioned. There is a value in Philotimo that we have overlooked a little bit, and that's that of selflessness and humility. Philotimo is lending a helping hand without being asked to do it or expecting to be praised for it. Most importantly, Philotimo is putting the needs of others above our own. With that in mind, I will ask you to vote to implement the Title IX amendment immediately and to put the needs of our most vulnerable of our students first.
Thank you, Eva. Mm-hmm. Other comments?
I just want to say that I feel it's the board's responsibility to facilitate and protect any student's pursuit of education, regardless of their gender identity or sexual orientation. It's not our job to make it more difficult or worse, or omit them entirely from written policies as if they did not exist. So I am for implementing it and feel that, of course, religion and politics should never play a role in a public or charter school.
Thanks, Georgia.
Just since I'm new board, working at the Army Research Laboratory for over 30 years, the Army had no problem. Oh, you should change everything. And everybody was protected at the lab. Nobody was allowed to do it, to harm anybody. And we had to protect them. Being a professor at the university, there's no question about that. I had students that really just came to my class. Was fine. Nobody just threatened them. But everybody, it was, let's say, the protected by the bylaws of the school that they had no issue with any of them. And I propose, I've been exposed to this kind of things almost of my career. So I propose to vote yes.
Thank you, Costas.
So in the 1920s, it was common to see signs that said no Greeks need apply. Right, you know, no Greeks allowed into restaurants. It was It was an early version of no blacks allowed. It was just straight up
no blacks and no Greeks.
And it was in that world in Georgia, deep in the heart of the South, that a bunch of Greeks got together and formed a American Atlantic Education Press Association, and it was to fight. Fight discrimination and protect those who are and we would be fools to turn our back on 100 years of a HEPA tradition, of American tradition, and allow anybody to say, no, they're fine. They've got enough protection. It didn't work for the blacks in the 60s. It won't work for whomever is next. So I think we would be ignorant as educators to not have been.
If you allow me, 1920 was no blacks, no Greeks. Greeks are allowed to bring the Greek women, 1922. Chinese allowed to bring Chinese women, 1951. So it's a continuous saga, it's a continuous strive for changes, but yes, it has to be implemented.
Thanks, Ken. Mm-hmm. Other comments?
I have comments and questions. As mentioned in our last meeting, after having an opportunity to read through the document and ask our questions, that our feedback would be provided to our legal team. Has that happened? And do we have a response?
So we don't have an in-house legal team. We have outside counsel.
Okay.
We have not had a substantive discussion with outside counsel. It appeared as though most of the comments were more opinion-oriented and less substantive on the policy itself. And so it didn't appear that we had the appropriate feedback to generate a substantive legal discussion.
Okay.
But I think more of the opportunity was for the board to see how others were thinking about the draft policy and to understand the perspective of various board members and things like that.
And I don't pretend to be a lawyer. So I am open to hearing, but I think opinion is one of the challenges that I see, and it is not a question of whether or not individuals should be protected, because I agree with all of the statements here that everybody deserves to be treated fairly, equally, and with the same level of respect that we would want for ourselves. I do have a concern, and I heard a comment earlier that our job is not to be lawyers, and it is not to try and interpret the law. So my question is this, there's a couple questions in here. One of them is, if we move to approve this as written today,
mm-hmm.
And as it is mentioned, there is currently an injunction that is upheld by our Supreme Court. If the Supreme Court does end up overturning the changes, just painting, you know, scenario here, what then happens to all of the policies that have been written by all of the schools to align with the new Title IX changes if they get rolled back? Do all the schools then have to roll them back to still be in compliance with Title IX?
No, because the Title IX, the updates to Title IX provide additional protections, and so additional federally mandated protections.
Okay.
And so by the way, the guidance that we gave to outside counsel when they drafted the updates were to as narrowly as possible, because we don't want to expose ourselves to operational risk by having a very broadly worded policy that goes sort of farther than we need to from a policy standpoint. We want to have an incredibly welcoming environment. We want to have a very robust experience for our students, and we want to make sure that we have a clear set of operating guidelines. So the draft that we got was outside counsel essentially taking the update and conforming extremely narrowly, conforming our former policy to the new one. So with the expanded protections, if it was rolled back, it's really that, okay, as written, the federal government can't mandate schools to provide those protections. We can go above and beyond. Okay. We can always go above and beyond. So we would have a choice at that time to either maintain what would be our existing Title IX policy, which if the Biden updates were rolled back would provide additional protections than would be required if it reverted to the prior. Or we could make a choice as a board at that time to sort of scale down the protections. We can't provide less than is federally mandated, but we sure can always provide more.
And to be clear, that's not, you know, the increasing the scope of who's protected is not the concern that I have.
Okay.
I do have concern about one word on page one, part two of the new policy, where it states hostile environment, harassment,
mm-hmm.
unwelcome sex-based conduct that, based on the totality of the circumstances, is subjectively and objectively offensive and is so severe or pervasive that it effectively denies a person's ability to participate in or benefit from OCS's education program or activity. The word subjectively raises a red flag. If we are to move forward with this, is there a way that we could advise or have some sort of written set of standards that help understand how subjectively offensive can be qualified? What is meant by subjectively, and how do we reconcile that?
Well, remember, as a board, our role is to implement policy. It's the administration's role to our role is to create and approve policies. It's the administration's role to implement those policies. So I would ask you, could you just comment for a minute of how you would think about implementing a policy? I presume you'd have processes and procedures and things like that, but yeah, maybe come here. Yeah, thanks.
Hear me. We have to take in all of the evidence, and then the witness statements. We seek legal counsel every time we do this, and then it comes down to what does the evidence suggest for that particular case. So, because the way the law is written now, and how even with this added subjectivity clause, it doesn't take away the objectivity clause of it. So in that sense, you would still have to provide the evidence for us to move forward with any allegation against somebody. It would have to be a preponderance of evidence to support a notion that we would take forward. We take these allegations very seriously, but we also protect all the parties involved. And we wouldn't make any decision as an organization without seeking all of the information that we can, consulting law enforcement and legal counsel along the way to make sure that we are aligned with an interpretation of the policy that would be consistent with us being able to operate through the lens of what Aaron was referring to before, as well as operational risk, in addition to making sure that we're doing what's best to protect all children. Joel, for what it's worth, I don't consider that word as something that's going to prohibit me from doing my job at this time.
And just to confirm, every Title IX situation, we have outside counsel engaged.
Every
right?
single time.
Yeah.
And there's all training in PDMS for the staff.
There is.
Yeah. So we're all going to become more familiarized with, and it's more the procedural part.
And although I understand exactly what you're saying about that word, and it does, it is an interesting addition to the clause.
Yeah.
If I sincerely felt that that would get in the way of me doing my job, I would absolutely have told you all that get in the way of doing my job. What my current position is that by even being in the position that we're in right now, it is actually it hindering my job in our current status. We need to move forward and let the Supreme Court make their decision. Yeah. And then once the Supreme Court makes the decision, if we need to reconvene, I'm happy to put in 500 hours of work if I have to make a new policy as necessary. But at this time, I don't know that there's this is creating a major distraction for all of the major things that the school is trying to do.
Thank you.
Thank you. So just to clarify my own understanding, from the words from our legal counsel is still that a preponderance of evidence is required, regardless of whether the offense is subjective or objective.
Yes. And they are the ones.
I think that was the part that was difficult to suss out on my own.
They are the ones determining that.
They'll advise us. Yeah. They'll look
advise
the
us. Tape. They will tell us. Yeah. This is what it's about.
Joel, I don't want to cut you off. Do you have more questions and comments? I'm not, I think Pat Helen has something, so I just want to make sure we hear everyone.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Helen, did you have something?
I was just going to say, you know, as a board member, parent, and education advocate, I think it is just our board responsibility, every person on this board, for us to take a look at the whole picture, regardless, take out all the other things and just look at what we're talking about. This policy for me is just one that just makes sure that rights are given across the board. So I don't think we overthink this policy. I don't think we care about what happens with the Supreme Court ruling, because regardless, it's the right thing to do for children. It's the right thing to do for the adults that are in the building. So we cannot forget, when we're making decisions for our school, why we're making these decisions. And it is very, you know, for me, it is very important that we consider every person that we have a responsibility to, and who we speak for, we consider them as a whole, regardless, because there may be some that agree or disagree, but bottom line, they're covered, and we want to just make sure that they're all covered. So I think, you know, as a board, we just need to do our due diligence. I only asked for the additional time so I could read the corrections last week. It was not because I was in agreement or disagreement. I just wanted to read what I was saying yes to. So, you know, I know from my perspective, I just feel like I had that time. I read it. I didn't have questions that concerned me. I just feel like we just need to do what we need to do for the people we all chose to serve, right? And we're all just servants here. And so we just need to do what's right by people. So when we're ready to vote, I would love to be able to ask for the vote now. I will move that we vote on this now. If we could, that would be great.
That's
just
my motion to approve Title IX as is.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Many seconds. I just want to make sure, any other board members who haven't spoken yet who want to say something? Okay, we'll go for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Abstentions? Okay, motion passes. We will implement the updated Title IX policy. Thank you, everyone, for the spirit of the discussion. That concludes our business today. Do we have a motion to adjourn? Mm-hmm. Do we have a second?
I move to adjourn.
We have a motion, a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone's opposed, but anyone opposed to adjourning? Okay. Thank you, everyone, for coming. This was a really nice turnout. Thank you for your engagement. Have a wonderful evening. We will see you later in September.
Okay. Thanks, Dino.
Thank you. Thanks, Dino.